According to Ephesians 4:7 through 16, pastors and teachers are among the gifted men upon whom the health and vitality of the church depends. Through their ministry, the saints are equipped and the body of Christ built up, unity is achieved, and spiritual maturity advanced. These gifted men are set apart by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. This is not done hastily. Rather, candidates are subjected to a lengthy process, beginning with the church informally recognizing their gifts, followed by the care of the presbytery, extended theological study leading to an advanced divinity degree. Once a call is accepted from a church or presbytery, they are then subjected to extensive oral and written examinations before presbytery, including knowledge of Greek, Hebrew, Bible content, theology, sacraments, church history, church government, and church order, as well as extensive evaluation of personal character, family management, religious experience, and gifts for ministry. Martin Addison Antoon has been called by the Savannah River Presbytery as its campus minister at the Savannah College of Art and Design. The commission is here to ordain and install him to this position. By an exchange of vows by the responsible parties, the imposition of hands, prayer, charges from the Word of God to the responsible parties, and finally the extending of the hand of fellowship to him by the body that has called him to serve. For this reason, the service is conducted with suitable solemnity, given the seriousness of the vows to be taken, the responsibilities now to be assumed, and the gifting of the Spirit for which we are praying. I'll ask if Tim Shaw will come forward now to administer the vows, and if Martin Antoon would step forward to answer the questions for ordination and installation.
Brother Martin Addison Antoon, do you believe the scriptures of the Old New Testaments to be the inerrant word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the confessions of faith and the catechisms of this church as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures? And do you further promise that if at any time you find yourself out of accord with any of the fundamentals of this system of doctrine, you will, on your own initiative, make known to your presbytery the change which has taken place in your views since the assumption of this ordination vow? Do you approve the form of government and discipline of the Presbyterian Church in America in conformity with the general principles of biblical polity? Do you promise subjection to your brethren in the Lord? Have you been induced, as far as you know your own heart, to seek the office of the holy ministry from love to God and a sincere desire to promote his glory in the gospel of the Son? Do you promise to be zealous and faithful in maintaining the truths of the gospel and the purity and peace and unity of the church, whatever persecution or opposition may arise unto you on that account? Do you engage to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all your duties as a Christian and a minister of the gospel, whether personal or relational, private or public, and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your manner of life, and to walk with exemplary piety before the flock of God, which God shall make you overseer? Are you willing to take charge as campus minister at Savannah College of Art and Design, agreeable to your declaration and accepting its call? And do you, relying upon God for strength, promise to fulfill all the duties of your office? You may be seated. The commission, rise to receive your charge and to receive your questions. Do you, the Savannah River Presbytery, mark this thing as well. Do you, the Savannah River Presbytery Commission, acting on behalf of the presbytery, continue to profess your readiness to receive Martin Antoon, whom you have called to be your campus minister at Savannah College of Art and Design? Do you promise to encourage him in his labors and to assist his endeavors for your instruction, spiritual edification? Do you engage to continue to him while he is your campus minister at Savannah College of Art and Design, that competent worldly maintenance which you have promised, and to furnish him with whatever you may see needful for the honor of religion and for his comfort among you, do you? Maybe seat him.
I'm going to ask if Martin will come and kneel in just a moment. And if all of the men present here who are elders of the Presbyterian Church in America or of the Independent Presbyterian Church, if they would come forward at this time for the laying on of hands.
Our Father in heaven, throughout all of Martin's life, you knew he would be called here to this work at this time among these people. You have designed him, prepared him, and called him to this work. And now we pray that he would have a special dispensation of grace to do the work you've set before him, the work of gospel ministry, the word, the ministry of word and sacrament, the ministry that your Son exemplified for us, the work of the Good Shepherd, who goes out to find the lost sheep, who binds up the broken sheep, who disciples and strengthens the fledgling sheep, who brings your sheep to your fold, the church. I pray that Martin would have the integrity, the passion, the faith, the love of our Lord, and that Martin would be a humble servant and yet a convicted proclaimer of the word of God. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit, which hovered over the face of the deep, the Spirit that filled the tabernacle and the temple, the Spirit which was poured out upon the prophets of old, the Spirit that was seen to blow dry bones to life, the Spirit that clothed Gideon, the Spirit that descended upon Christ like a dove, and the apostles like tongues of fire, that it would descend upon and clothe Martin for a lifetime of gospel ministry. Oh, that his heart would flame with the fire of the Spirit, and his preaching be powerful with the unction of the Spirit. May his counseling have the wisdom of the Spirit, and his evangelism the effectiveness that comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, may this laying on of hands be a moment that our brother Martin would look back upon to be sure of his calling, sure of his ordination, his being duly trained, examined, and called and ordained to the ministry of word and sacrament. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, the members of the commission, as well as the elders of the churches, will now give you the right hand of fellowship to take part in this ministry with us. You gentlemen may be seated. Martin, you'll remain standing for just a few more moments. I now pronounce and declare that the Reverend Martin Addison Antoon has been regularly ordained and installed as campus minister at the Savannah College of Art and Design, agreeable to the Word of God, and according to the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church in America, and that as such, he is entitled to all support, encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Reverend Billy Dempsey of First Presbyterian Jackson will now come and charge the campus minister.
A few remarks, brief, I promise. Honor to be here. Thank you. Honor to be part of this beginning for you and Elizabeth and your family in ministry. A few words from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, a passage well known to you. Paul says this, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. And so I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads in triumphal procession. And through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? Martin, you'll remember your New Testament history. Paul is concerned about the reaction of the church at Corinth to the correspondence he's sent them. He is anxious to know from Titus, who delivered the letter and has been with the church at Corinth for now a time, how that letter was received and how the life of the church of Corinth is progressing. Lots of concerns, lots of worries and troubles, lots of things that would have been of concern to Paul. Titus didn't show up when he was supposed to. Titus was late. His failure to arrive at Troas before the onset of winter was such a concern to Paul that he left, even though there was an open door for ministry, and he traveled overland to Macedonia, hoping to find Titus there. Here's the charge. Brother, love your people enough in the Lord to lose sleep over them. Love your people enough to lose sleep over their souls. Paul can't work and he can't rest till he hears from Titus about the state of affairs in Corinth. He's restless over the state of their souls. We know that God's at work. God's at work in ways we can't see, and we trust Him to be at work among the people whom we serve and to whom we preach and teach and whom we pastor in all kinds of ways. And we see it in verse 14, Paul saying God in Christ is leading us in triumph. And nevertheless, he's anxious to the point he can't be comfortable where he is. He's losing sleep over the church at Corinth. There's nothing automatic. God's at work. God's doing great things. And much of God's work will be always beyond your sight. It's deep underneath. And you see something burst forth into the light. But that's not automatic. Your faithful ministry of preaching, teaching, discipling, evangelizing is going to bring that fruit forward. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, talks about anguish as of childbirth till Christ is formed in you. That's what it'll be like. You don't need to be afraid of that. You need to embrace that. Embrace the anxiety over souls. Embrace the anxiety over the work of God in the hearts of your students now, the folks in your pastoral charge later, the work of God in your own family, among your sweet wife, and the children that God will bless you with. Remember the aroma principle. We talk about that. Paul talks about that here. Your faithful ministry, it's not going to be about you. Your faithful ministry will put people, your people, in mind of Christ. Your faithful ministry will put people in mind of Christ as you give yourself for their good. That's what this is all about. You give yourself for their good. As Christ spent himself, as Jesus spent himself, you'll be spent. Throughout your student ministry, throughout an eventual congregation within the walls of your own home, as you minister to your family and you disciple your children and you pastor your wife, you'll lay aside your right to rest. You'll lay aside your right to comfort again and again for the good of the people whom God has given you. again, for the good of the people that God has given you. And that way, you're going to be, your ministry will be, your life will be the aroma of Christ, living out the self-forgetfulness of the life of Jesus. Doing so yourself, as one for whom Jesus died, as a trophy of His grace. As you live out that principle, you're going to recognize those two responses Paul saw. You're going to be an aroma of death to the dying, an aroma of life to the living. You can't fix that. You can't change that. Brother, just be faithful. Just be faithful. Your faithful ministry is about Jesus and putting them in mind of Jesus and not anything else. I remember as a young child watching my daddy shave. It was fascinating to me. Because I had cut myself with a few sharp things, and I was like, how is he getting that sharp thing all over his face? I would just watch him. I would watch him shave. And then I'd watch him as he would apply copious amounts of Old Spice. And it trailed him. That's one of the things I remember from my childhood, the smell of Old Spice. Well, I started shaving eventually, and I didn't put anything on myself. I just shaved and cleaned up and went on. I didn't think about smelling like anything until I turned 50. Maybe that was my moment of midlife crisis. I don't know. But it was like a light flipped on, and I said, I want to smell like my daddy. And so now my family ridicules me for the vats of Old Spice that they say I slosh on myself every time I shave. Smell like your Savior. Smell like your Savior. Love and self-forgetfulness and giving and giving and giving, preaching and teaching, faithful ministry. Smell like your Savior, brother. And people will know you love Him. Your family will know you love them. Elizabeth will know you love her as you put her in mind of Christ. Thank you.
My task is to charge the commission and the congregation, so it's a twofold charge. I'm reading from Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning or with grief, for that would be of no advantage to you. So first, for the presbytery, this word of exhortation from the apostle, let them do this with joy. You have vowed to encourage and assist the campus minister in his work. And one of the characteristics of campus ministry is that those guys are out there on their own. They don't have a session. They don't have colleagues in the ministry with whom they are interacting with on a day-to-day basis. On the staff of First Presbyterian, where Martin has come from here at Independent. You know, we have colleagues in the ministry right on the staff of the church. We interact all the time. We encourage each other. Well, campus ministers don't have that. They are out there on their own. And so I charge the commission representing the presbytery to do the work of encouraging and assisting the campus minister in his work so that he may pursue his work with joy and not with grief. So that's part of your assignment as a presbytery. The other part is to make sure that you oversee and supervise the work of campus ministers generally. You are the calling agents. They are carrying out your ministry. They are to carry out your ministry in a way that expresses your priorities and your convictions and your philosophy. So you are responsible to give proper encouragement to the campus minister, but also to give proper oversight, counsel, advice, direction to ensure that he is getting the kind of direction that he needs in order to do his work well. Then to the congregation, charge the congregation that you be an encouragement to the college students to whom the campus minister is ministering. College students need a church. College ministries, going all the way back to my college days at the University of Southern California, some 40 years ago now, dare I even admit it, college ministries have been hothouses. By which I mean a plant brought up in a hothouse who then is placed in the real world often fail to thrive. In the real world, they will die because they're not used to the harsh environment of reality. They've been in a hothouse. They've been in an artificial environment. And when they're placed out in the world, they don't thrive. So the process of transitioning from the hothouse to the real world has to be a careful one. Campus ministries are like hothouses. Everybody's the same age. Everyone is just alike. Oh, you say, well, you don't realize my campus students are very, very different. Oh, really? Now, they're all about the same age. They all have about equivalent hipness and coolness and time on their hands and interests culturally. They are similar. And it's fun and it's exciting to get together and they share so many things and they go out and they have a good time. And then they graduate and they leave the college environment. And outside of the college environment, there are old people and there are young people and there are crying babies. And then you go to a church. If it's a healthy church, it's cross-generational. It's got old people in it. It's got young people in it. It's got babies in it. That's the real world. That's the real church. And college students need to be in a real church where they have the benefit of the wisdom of the elderly, where they have the benefit of experience from those who are older than they are, who've been down the road a ways, who have walked the path a little bit further, who have been there and done that and are able to give them counsel and advice, are able to speak to their circumstances. And the church needs the energy of the young. We need their energy. They've got a lot of energy. As you age, you slow down. You don't have the level of energy that you once had. And they bring enthusiasm and energy into the work. We need them. They need us. If you look at the epistles, the Apostle Paul is reading single letters in which he addresses married people, single people, young people, old people. He's addressing a variety of ethnicities. There are Jews, there are Gentiles. It's a mixture of generations. It's a mixture of peoples. It's a mixture of marital statuses. They're all in the same church. That's the way the church is meant to be. So charge the congregation to be an open, welcoming, warm, loving church home for college students. When they walk through our doors, assault them with kindness. And we'll feed them for free. By the way, dinner tonight is a dinner reception, and the dinner is complimentary. It's on us. That's the way it is every Sunday night for college students. Invite them to come and take them into your homes. Take them home. You may not recall, but when you're a college student, it's a nice thing to be in a normal place, like a home. And to sit at a normal table with a family. So charge the congregation to be a warm, loving, and church environment in which college students, in which Martin can bring students. Be a light in the darkness of this world. Be a place of refuge for the college students. There are Last number I heard, 13,000 students, undergraduates and graduates at the Savannah College of Art and Design. We are surrounded by them. They are everywhere. And then you've got Armstrong and Savannah State and Votech. And there's a lot of students in Savannah. We need to be reaching them. We cannot exercise a proper ministry, the stewardship of the gospel, and not reach college students. We cannot do it. Why? Because there are 13,000 of them right here. Have to reach them. And so, let's be a home for our college students. And let's be a help to Martin and others as they are engaged in reaching college students with the glorious gospel of our blessed God, the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's join together in singing hymn number 598, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, 598.